Through it all, we have been supported by the most passionate fan base in the country. These great fans deserve teams that make them proud. It will not be easy, but we will succeed.
Remember the past, but look forward and don't look back.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is Three and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride.
It starts with everybody that touches the University of Tennessee.
And that'll do it. Tennessee is going to snap their 11-game conference losing streak.
We got to get better. And everybody, do your job, and it's that simple.
And it is over, and number one goes down. Tennessee comes back to knock off the unbeaten Zags, 76-73.
I'm going to tell you what my expectations are. My expectations is to win every game we play.
I want 100% locked in. You got it?
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your fans behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, that no friends of mine. See, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Welcome into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. It's an Optimism Tuesday edition of Three and Out. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Davey Hudson, Billy Williford. The gang is all here. So we head towards Tennessee, Missouri this weekend. And basketball. Don't forget basketball. I mean, what more reason to give you optimism? And a little midweek Cupcake City basketball matchup.
For the ranked Tennessee Volunteers.
Top 20. Not top 25. Top 20.
It's weird that you beat the number 20 team by 11 on a neutral site and just take their spot. You're not considered better than 20.
Well, it's like kind of king of the hill, I guess. It just, you know.
I mean, I'm not like, place. Not I mean, mad. I'm just saying, really probably could have got, you know.
Well, they went to 25, so. I guess people thought they were a little overrated after Tennessee.
That's not my problem. Maybe we're underrated. At 20.
Definitely
were
before.
In fact, the more college basketball I watch, the more I think Tennessee, underrated.
You know, you're not wrong. I watched Konzo Martin last night struggle around with the Wofford Terriers for a while. It's pretty close halfway through the second half.
Kentucky struggles again.
Kentucky sucks.
They fell to ninth in the rankings.
And then won by 8 last night, I believe.
It was 82-74, if memory serves correctly.
I think you're spot on there. And it was to a team named Utah Valley.
The whole valley. Well, that's them. Campus. Huge.
I've never heard of this team.
Utah State, they're 15th in the country.
This is Utah Valley.
Oh, okay.
Valley. They're green, not blue.
Hate to see it.
Usually valleys are green in the
in the
west.
It's not a bad color choice.
Because the river creates the valley.
Yeah.
So you get more water flow, green.
Utah.
It's like the Gunnison Gorge.
The Utah
Very green. A lot of
valley.
Snakes. Tons of snakes. Most snakes I've ever seen in my life in Colorado. The Verde River in Arizona, very green.
I would hope so, that name. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes things get misnamed, though. You know, there's that whole Greenland Iceland thing, so.
That was a government con, though. They named it Greenland so people would move there. All ice. Iceland, however, not all ice. Rather green at times. Definitely some ice. Mm-hmm. Weird eating habits in Iceland.
Yeah?
Like their favorite food is like mustard, herring and toast.
Hmm. All right.
It's a dish. Hmm.
Sounds delicious. Not really.
Davey would know.
Big sardine guy, Davey Hudson.
Mustard sliders, mustard sardine sliders on king bread.
Yeah. Billy still gets to draw his punishment later today.
Yeah, we haven't forgotten Billy.
9:30.
I'm excited about
since
that.
Since you didn't want a proxy yesterday.
I'm pretty sure I said it doesn't matter. Well, check it.
You said it doesn't matter unless I get a bad one, then I'm redrawing tomorrow.
That was more of a joke.
Oh, now it was a joke. I see. I see.
Funny.
I did learn about the veto, though.
Not funny, ha-ha. I can't say the rest.
You did learn about the veto?
Yeah, I thought once you vetoed, it still went back in the box and you could still get it.
No, he's
like
it's,
you veto
it's
and you're good for the rest of the year.
For that specific punishment.
Yeah, I kind of like that. Okay. Makes things a little bit easier.
It's just because Houston didn't want his chest waxed. It's the only reason.
Because I'm the only one in the room with chest hair.
Part of the game.
True.
I balls. Would. It would be Steve Carell in 40-year-old virgin. It'd be bad.
It would be. There will be blood.
There's lots of blood. And I'm going to deal with that.
The Utah Valley Wolverines kept it within 8 of
Kentucky. Are there Wolverines in Utah?
They've won over 20 games the past 2 seasons. 25 last year.
They're in the WAC. Is the WAC still a good basketball conference? Like it used to be.
Wiggity wiggity whack.
I don't know.
That was a good tune back in the day. Utah Valley.
Yeah.
New Mexico State came out of the WAC last year. They were a pretty good
team.
There
you go.
They should have beat Auburn last year.
Auburn played well last night. They're kind of all or nothing.
They beat Colgate
by a gazillion. Other SEC teams, though, not.
Yeah, there's currently only 3 SEC teams in the top 25.
How many?
3. Kentucky, Auburn, Tennessee.
Oh, notably absent, Florida, who dropped out of the top 25 following the loss to UConn, coming on the heels of their loss, of course, the previous Saturday against Florida State at home.
Could get worse for the conference tonight. Furman travels to Alabama, where they are 3.5-point underdogs. Furman is. Alabama's the favorite. But
I'm kind of surprised Alabama's the favorite, honestly. Rhode Island railroaded them. It was bad.
It wasn't their place. I think this is just the home court 3.5.
Yeah, we're going to give them the field goal and a half. They stink. Mm. Not in the top 25, Alabama.
Half of the conference still is undefeated, though.
Feels good to be on the good half.
It's true.
As far as receiving votes go, like before this week's polls came out, Tennessee was 30th. This week in 30th. Evansville.
Did they win last night? They were losing to SMU. When I saw.
Well, I don't have that answer right now. I can look it up, but I mean, this was given before that game took place.
Right. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Mm. They lost 59-57.
They had a good run in the top 30.
Yep, done. See ya.
Florida State's sitting at 26. You have to play them here soon. Be nice for them to move up a little bit, get the ranking next to them.
Tonight, South Carolina hosts Boston University. LSU hosts the legendary University of Maryland, Baltimore County, UMBC.
Look out.
Ole Miss hosts Seattle. And Alabama, Furman, and there's one more. Arkansas hosts Texas Southern. Real good slate of SEC basketball.
I disagree. I don't think this is a good slate. I'm going to have to call you out on that one.
Of course, Tennessee hosts Alabama State, 7 o'clock tomorrow night, SEC Network Plus.
Georgia Tech at Georgia tomorrow.
There you go.
Maybe
a little football.
Is old buddy still there at Georgia Tech?
Pastner, yes.
I don't know who to root for in that one. I hate Pastner a lot, like a lot. And if you were at Memphis at any point, pretty much hate you. But I also don't want Georgia to suddenly be good.
Yeah. You think Vanderbilt can beat Austin Peay? Vanderbilt's been bad.
Yeah, they could beat Austin Peay. Did you say Missouri played last night?
Yeah.
And they play again tomorrow night?
I guess so.
Morehead State at Missouri, 8 p.m. tomorrow. Yeah. Troy at Texas A&M. And as you mentioned, Austin Peay at Vanderbilt. Okay.
Yeah, Vanderbilt, their last two... They lost to Richmond by 1 on the road, and they beat a school, AMCC, 71-66. Got by the Texas A&M Corpus Christi Islanders. We played them last year, right?
Yep.
Vanderbilt beat them by five.
Five?
They were losing at halftime.
Way to rally.
Texas A&M Corpus Christi has not won a game this year. That's how bad Vanderbilt is.
Stackhouse.
Only like three games
in the season. Yeah.
Actually, I'm sorry. They got a win after the Vanderbilt game. They are now 1-4.
Tennessee held Texas A&M Corpus Christi to 29% shooting inside the three-point line last season.
So Vanderbilt might stink. We got them twice.
That's good.
That's good.
That's great.
Florida plays St. Joseph's Thursday from TD Arena in Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, some kind of tournament thing?
I would imagine so. The Charleston Classic.
Okay. There you go.
As of now, Florida, per the matchup predictor, is a 93.6% favorite.
Like, is that the used-to-be good St. Joseph's?
The Hawks, yeah.
Like, was a one seed once, maybe, or two?
Yeah. With Jameer Nelson.
Jameer Nelson, yeah.
Delonte West. Pretty sure they played together.
Is it St. Joseph's where the guy just sits in the corner of the court and just flaps his wings the whole time in the Hawk outfit? Mm. Or is that Temple? Is that the Owls basketball?
Is Mullen still the head coach at St. Joseph's, or did he get fired?
I don't know. I asked an Chris important Mullins. Question. About the mascots.
I don't have an answer for you.
I think that's St. Joseph's, the Hawk. Yeah, yeah.
He just...
I'm looking at a picture of
maybe
it.
Maybe I'm thinking of St. John's.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're thinking of St. John's. Was
Am I thinking of St. Joe's?
No, you're good. You're St. Joe's. It's the Hawk.
Mike Anderson is the head coach at
St. The Saint. Hawk will never die is the mantra.
See, this is important.
Flaps its wings nonstop, even during halftime.
Yeah, it never stops. Which is weird because... Like, you know, sharks can't stop swimming or they die. Hawks can absolutely just glide. Like, he could just hold him out there. He's still flying.
Or just sit down and perch somewhere.
Yeah, that's true. They don't have to fly the whole time either. I was saying just when they're flying.
Right.
But, yeah, when they stop flying, they do not die like a shark would when they stop swimming.
You want to start a new team with the shark mascot and just never stops. It just has to
move. The dude's just waddling around the court.
Walk and talk, buddy. Walk and talk.
No, you got to keep up with me. Sorry. If I stop, we die.
The shark will never die.
The team huddle, they actually just keep moving in a circle?
Yeah.
Think about it.
Never relax.
Never sit down.
Always on guard.
Like a shark. Sharks are pretty dumb, though. I think I'd rather be a hawk. Hmm. Smarter. Intelligent. Maybe an eagle.
What about an orca?
Oh, yeah, come on. I got a buddy in New Zealand right now. All I want him to do is go on an orca trip and take video. So smart. Dolphins, orca, beluga whales, geniuses.
Huh.
You know me, though. Big orca guy. I could talk orca. I mean, not like speak it, but maybe, actually.
Looks like the Charleston Classics got St. Joe's, Florida. It looks like UConn.
Oh, was the UConn-Florida matchup like a campus game? Yeah, it could be.
What's up with these campus games? What? Seems weird. Towson is back there. Was that part of it?
Yeah, I guess so. They played Florida State and then Towson.
I don't have a problem with it. It allows these smaller schools just an opportunity to kind of be in it.
How does that work, though? Is Florida still paying Towson for that game to come play there, or is it covered by the Charleston Classic?
That's a good question.
I mean, it does raise awareness for the actual, you know, travel game that's going to be in Charleston. I would say same with the Emerald Coast Classic doing the campus games.
Yeah.
It does kind of alert you that, wait, this is part of the what? Oh, there's another. Oh, well, maybe we should go to that.
As mentioned yesterday, Alabama State and UTC are both campus games for the Vols.
Nope, none of those games mattered. So it's weird. Those teams are in this, but it doesn't start till the 21st. And they could absolutely play again. So Florida.
You're kidding.
Florida's playing St. Joseph's on the 21st. I guess these are all in Charleston. It's where. You know, they used to call it College of Charleston. Now it's just Charleston. Miami plays Missouri State. Shouts out, Konzo. Xavier plays Towson in the bottom half of the bracket.
Original
Buffalo
Konzo.
Plays Connecticut. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, original coach in Konzo. Original Konzo was Purdue.
Yeah. Yeah. Gene Katie. Is that right?
Player? I don't know.
That was Which the Vols will play the winner of Purdue VCU
if
the Vols win.
They beat Florida State on November 29th. Currently... Coin flip game.
Xavier and Buffalo, the other teams in Charleston.
Florida State, a 50.5% favorite. Tennessee, 49.5%. I mean, this thing's about as close as it can get. Both teams allowing 72.7 points per game, but Tennessee scoring 78.3, Florida State only scoring 67.7. Field goal percentage, Tennessee dominating. Rebounds, assists, blocks, steals. We're better in every statistical category. How are they favored? What is this? Because they beat Florida, who may stink. Florida's not even a top 25 team.
You talking about the BPI?
Yeah.
That thing's been messed up all year.
I guess in basketball, it's going to be just way more accurate as the season goes on.
It's not as good.
It was pretty accurate for us last year, I felt like.
Oh, was it?
Once everyone realized we were really good.
Okay.
Once they had more data. Yeah, I think it was pretty good. Optimism Tuesday, 20th ranked Vols. Billy, we missed your recap of the game.
Yeah.
Tennessee in Canada against Washington. The Vols were a one-point favorite officially, a point and a half somehow. Is that right?
Yeah, 1 point. On my bookie, they were 1 point.
So the BPI favorite for that one had Washington as a 59.4% favorite, but Tennessee favored in Vegas. And as I mentioned, Tennessee, a slight dog, according to the BPI, but they dispatched Washington. Really, it was a wire-to-wire win. They got down 1-0 and 3-2 and then led the rest of the way. Billy, your thoughts? Your round ball, Bill.
Certainly made people in this room look silly, didn't they?
Not me. I predicted the score almost perfectly.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Did we all pick Tennessee to win? I think we did, right?
No, I did not.
No. No.
Did you all pick them to lose?
We all three picked Washington to win.
I'm the only one that picked Tennessee to win, and I picked double-digit victory?
Yep. Yeah. We just chalked it up to you being a homer.
Or maybe basketball is kind of my sport. I got a background.
I'm not arguing. I'm not trying to.
I knew somebody picked him to lose, but I thought you.
No.
For some reason, I thought Davey picked him to win by like 4, and I thought you picked him to win by 3.
Yeah, I had it as a 1 point game.
That's right. You did have it as a 1 point game.
We had it
as
like what, 6 or 7?
Yeah, I had him losing by 5. One of my biggest
Crestradamus is back for basketball.
Was how was Tennessee going to score the basketball, especially against the zone? And they came out.
And
got every
they put on a damn
wanted
clinic on how to score against the 2-3.
Fulkerson had some post play moves that we've never seen.
Pons
before.
Did too.
Pons,
and that was a big team. That was not an easy team to score against in the post.
Right, and that was one of my questions was just how are you going to do that? And if the middle of the zone wasn't open, where were your shots going to come from?
Well, luckily,
that
was
open
wide open
all
every time.
Game.
The only time we've fouled it up was when we just got a little timid in the second half, went on a little cold stretch, and they cut it, I think, to 7, and then we pushed it right back out to 14 or 12 at least.
And then something that I've been on this year was the transition defense. It was remarkable against Washington. They weren't the type of team that was going to come out and push it anyways, but even when they tried,
it's like, tough for zone teams to do that.
They didn't have the opportunity. Pons, again, looked great. I'm still on. He is the most complete player on this team right now. Bowden, the best scorer. He can lead the team. Pons has to be the most complete player when you're talking about how he can protect the rim, alter shots, play defense. One of the things that I did want to make a note is Lamonte is leading the team better than I anticipated that he would. Last year, I think he only had 2 games with 6 assists or more. So far this season, he's had 6, 14, and 8. I know he has the ball more, but he's looking to get people the opportunity to score easy baskets. He's leading the team well. Josiah Jordan James looked like he settled in a little bit. His shot looked
a little bit.
Looked a little bit more fluent.
Oh, well, he didn't miss one.
Yeah, that is true. Fulkerson,
usually when people don't miss shots, I would encourage them to take more of them.
That's a good plan.
I'll just put that one on the table for anyone to look at it. Because I think he looked comfortable, finally.
Yeah. More shots, then, though. I was really impressed with Fulkerson because we were worried about what he would do in the post, worried about him flashing to the middle of the zone, how he would handle that. I mean, he made beautiful, but he got Stewart in foul trouble early in the game, and mm-hmm. Stewart was taken over the first 6 minutes mm-hmm. on the offensive end. Folky was kind of getting bullied a little bit, but I don't know. Maybe I underrated this team. I think that they're playing offense better than most teams in the nation right now, and that's one of the reasons for the quick start.
Isn't that wild? I mean, would we – I think we all kind of thought defensive effort will be there. We'll see about, you know, overall just athleticism, because you can try really hard, but if you can't keep up with your guy, you're not going to be a great defender. But the scoring.
Yeah.
I mean, the efficiency.
10th best in the nation.
And that's coming off the game against Washington, who's a pretty good defensive team.
One of the best.
Just shredded the zone. It was easy.
I mean, it was like Washington didn't know their own weakness and how to protect against it.
Well, even when they went to man, like Tennessee still got they still got the shots they wanted.
Yeah, and you could tell they were like, we're not good at this. Back to the zone. Back to the zone.
Retreat.
Yeah, seriously.
I mentioned this right before we came on, but Tennessee has the third best three-point percentage in the nation, shooting 46.2% from deep.
Which is exactly what they shot against Washington, ironically. 46.2%.
Only South Dakota and Toledo rank ahead of the Vols.
And that's with Lamonte Turner shooting 18.8% from three.
Yeah, he's 3 for 16 on the season.
Lamonte Turner is 3 for 16 from three, and your third best three-point shooting team in the country.
And you look maybe the best of any team in your conference compared to, you know, your schedule and stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah.
One more note about Lamonte that I found interesting was last season, there were only two games where he attempted more shots from inside the three-point line than outside the three-point line. So far this year, he hasn't had a game where he's attempted more threes than twos.
Really?
Yeah. He's just playing a different type of basketball, and you can really tell that it's helping the team, and he's doing a fantastic job about being the point guard.
So he's got to figure out his field goal percentage issues and free throw.
I just think he's taking different shots.
I mean, that's fine, but you got to make them. I mean, he's shooting 29% from the field. And as you said, 18.8 from three, 61% from the free throw line. He is averaging 9.3 assists a game, which is really, really good.
Well, hopefully he'll
turnovers,
realize
he's gotten better. He had that one or two games in a row with five. He's averaging 3.7 turnovers. But 9.3 assists. I'll take 3-1. Not bad.
Hopefully he'll realize now that some of the other players on the team have picked up the scoring load, that he doesn't have to go into the season thinking,
I got to get 15 a night. Yeah.
And he can let some of the shots that he took last year successfully just kind of come to him off the pass, instead of having to feel like he's got to do a bunch of stuff off the bounce, which isn't his best attribute. Off the bounce, he needs to be creating for others. He's been doing that. It's been effective. Wait for those shots to come back to you, and this team can become even more efficient on offense, which, I mean, if they do that, holy cow. Like, I don't know what – people just have to out – other teams will just have to outscore them.
Good luck with that.
Just kind of taking a step back and looking at this from a bigger picture, I thought the Vols did a really good job of just disrupting Washington on both ends of the floor. But this win is one that – come the end of the year, like, you're going to look back on this Washington team. That wasn't their best performance. They are a good team. They're going to rebound. I know we were able to kind of shred that zone. I think they'll get those situations fixed. But after watching this game, I don't believe we said this yesterday, but my, I guess, outlook for the season is tournament or bust. And I think every fan should kind of be in that same camp after looking at what you've seen through the first three games of the season.
Dude, they're ranked in the top 20 in the country. Of course, yeah.
Well, I mean, we were coming
so
into the
Florida.
Season. Coming into the season, I mean, there was some people was like, I don't know. It's
just make the
it's
tournament.
Looking at like a 18, 19, 20 win team. You're kind of on the fringe. But no one expected this. I mean, maybe.
I did.
Within the program.
Called it. Said 71-60. A couple extra free throws there at the end. 75-62. I expected it.
I mean, the question
will be,
is
that 3 weeks ago?
Is that the new norm?
I picked it on the Friday. I expected it.
That was after seeing the first two games, though.
Yeah. I expected it. No, not in the preseason, though. No. This is great. Like, Tennessee team's exceeding expectations.
Nice to be surprised.
It's very neat.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the exceeding expectations. Good job by Rick Barnes. Lower the bar with offseason and then pew, top 20 team. And they look like it. I mean, when you watch some other teams that were pretty highly ranked.
Yeah.
I don't know. You hate to think we've already peaked, but I'm imagining a lot of these teams that have kind of started off slow are going to get better. I'm thinking we can get better too. But we look like a more prepared basketball team really than just about any other team I've watched. That is a hat tip to Rick Barnes and the staff, not to mention the players, because they're all in a new role this year. It's all different. And so far, aces. Purple aces of Evansville, who beat Kentucky.
We'll come back with more. Stick with us. It is an Optimism Tuesday edition of Three and Out right here on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. Pick you up some Truly Hard Seltzer. Only 100 calories. Truly refreshing. Drink what you truly want. It's Truly Hard Seltzer.
Oh, announcement.
Yeah?
Rosé has been dethroned for me.
What?
Mango.
Mango?
Oh, baby, it is so good.
Oh, my goodness.
Mango.
It's not even close.
It's me. Mango.
Mango.
Mango. Try the pomegranate. It's fine.
I think...
isn't that what your wife likes, the pomegranate?
She does like the pomegranate.
She can have my pomegranates, but I want the mango.
She'll make that deal.
I make that deal. Damn good deal. Mm-hmm. But I want all the mango.
I just think I don't like mango as much as other people.
Sweet, but it's like a deep,
because
dark,
when I drink
sweet,
the mango
so
Truly Hard Seltzer, I can tell it's a very distinct flavor. But I think
so
I'm just not as mango driven as others. You know?
It's just hard to find a good mango.
Is it?
They're very tough to know when they're right. Mm. Otherwise, they're gritty and like not very good. Oh, but okay. I had fresh mango one time in the British Virgin Islands.
Yeah?
And they know the secrets.
Unreal.
Life-changing.
All right.
Life-changing experience having a good mango. It's like Kramer in that episode of Seinfeld.
What's the mango in? The tropical pack?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think. Yeah, it's like pomegranate, pomegranate. Mango.
What's the other
and...
one I'm forgetting? How do they put the one with the lime and the, what's that one called? Citrus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Citrus is lime, lemon,
yeah.
Raspberry, lime, and I can't remember.
Grapefruit.
Yep, that's it. Grapefruit.
I get the what's in the tropical and what's in the citrus mixed up sometimes.
Me too.
Yep. What's in the box?
What's in the box?
Well, we got
mango.
We got the Seinfeld complete series. Thank you, Houston Kress, coming through for the team here. Fan Run
for
Radio.
Team Hodges.
Yep.
It only took 2 years.
2 years.
It took 2 years for me to remember to bring that to you when I saw it at the house. I would always remember on like a Saturday and then be like, oh, yeah, I'll get it later. Mm-mm.
Like Billy said, you should just put it in the car right then and it'd be in the car.
That's what I did last night. Put it in my backpack. I was just like, yep, there it is. I was about to make dinner and I said, nope, not gonna get distracted. It's time. You paid me my winnings from my bet.
I did.
And I felt guilty because you were so quick on the payment that I was like, man,
I brought you cash.
I have really, real exact change, really duffed up this Seinfeld box set. So there it is, the complete series, Seinfeld.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, my bookie kept moving the line towards Kentucky. You got a little extra.
We made an extra $15.50.
Yeah.
I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still don't know why it was $15.50.
I'm not mad about it. I'll take $115.50.
Well,
little birthday
bet. Yeah, you said $110. Yeah, yeah.
Little birthday.
That's why
bet.
It was.
Oh, that's right. It was $110. It was. Yeah, you're right.
So it wasn't like old school where you bet the $110, but you really only bet $110. Just is kind of gone unless you win. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It was. It's bet the whole $110, and they were plus one. It was money line.
But yeah, next time it snows and you skip work, you got plenty of viewing material.
Mm-hmm.
Buckethead tweets in and says, Ricky B has reeled me back in because I was out with the UCLA flirting in the offseason. I don't like to go back to remember those tough times, but those were tough times. But he's ours now, forever. Thank goodness. Who would we have? I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it.
Sometimes you got to take a step back to go forward.
I think there were a lot of people who were kind of going to hold that against Barnes had he had a, you know, disappointing year, and obviously he still can. I think there's people saving that, waiting on some opportunity to open fire on Rick Barnes, but so far this season, no opportunities to do that. I mean, they were licking their chops at halftime of Murray State. They were just waiting.
I mean, shoot, imagine if this team had imagine if Jordan Bone hadn't been quite as good last year and had never even considered the NBA, and Grant Williams hadn't been not quite as good the last 2 years, still pretty good, and it had gotten close and flirted and said, nah, I'll come back for one more. If you had Bone and Williams on this team,
or if,
I mean, they'd be right back where they were last year. I mean, they'd be flirting with, you know, number one in the country, probably.
Or if you got Blackshear or Plavsic cleared.
Well, that, I mean, Blackshear, that. I mean, there's probably some blame somewhere for that. Just not sure how to apply it exactly.
Buckethead says, yep, slander is in the holster. Yeah. Huh?
Yeah.
You're not alone on that one either, but I think a lot of people are just waiting. Just,
I mean,
in case.
If we do want to look at the other side, sometimes this happens. I am worried that some of these other teams have more room to grow and get better by the end of the season, and Tennessee is just has a ceiling that they'll run up against at some point. But that's still more of a credit to the coaching, saying, hey, we came out of the gates just really ready, super efficient on offense, and they've mitigated what other teams have tried to do on defense.
I think that's the most surprising part, is just almost every single player on this team is in a different role this season. Mm-hmm. You can argue that Bowden is, because he has to take on the scoring load. Lamonte's playing point. That's different. Pons, Folke, all of them. And yet the offense is so efficient. We've seen development. One thing that does worry me, and I don't want to overreact to just three games, but again, there's no one coming off the bench.
No.
It kind of hurt you last year.
Yeah, we mentioned it yesterday. Late. 72 of your 75 points were scored by your starters.
Shouts out to Kamwa with the corner three.
Mm-hmm.
Which looked nice.
Actually, I guess they didn't give him a three. I thought it was a three. It was a long two, and then he made a free throw.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was listening to that on the radio for some reason at that point.
I went back and watched the highlights yesterday. I thought it was a three. I guess his toe.
That new line, man, it'll get you.
How about that? With the new line, we're shooting third best 3-point percentage in the country.
Barnes wanted that new line, spread it out so he can hit more free throw line jumpers. Somebody said it yesterday. It might have been Davey. The new line makes it harder to play zone defense. You got to come out a little further, just even in your mind's eye a little bit.
It does. I mean, that's probably one of the reasons the middle was so wide open against Washington. It's interesting because I guess I figured this team would be able to shoot the three fine, but with Pons doing what he's doing and Turner not, like if Turner picks it up a little bit, like if he finds the stroke, holy Toledo, this could be a very, very dangerous team. I mean, I don't think they're ever going to be the, you know, the Auburn shoot 33s a game team, but I mean, we're really not even shooting that many right now, and your quote-unquote best three-point shooter, or at least one of them in Turner, is not having a good start, but Pons, Bowden, money.
I know it's early, but I am trying to think of the teams that, I guess, from a matchup standpoint, that will be able to give Tennessee a tough time on the defensive end. And so far, I'm really struggling as far as looking at the schedule. Somebody will. I mean, Kansas probably will. Once you play them, like I think they've rebounded. And I mean, that's a quality team. But for the first, I guess maybe Memphis. That'll be your toughest game, I believe. For
it's Optimism Tuesday. Why are you talking about which team can best defend us?
Well, it's because Tennessee's so good that I'm struggling to find it to kind of turn the tables on you.
Got a point.
I mean, you thought Washington was going to be that team, right? And then Tennessee just. I mean, that's what they want on offense.
I think you'll struggle to score some against Florida State. The good news is, I think you'll be able to shut them down for.
Yeah, they're not a high-flying, up-and-down, score-a-ton-of-points type team.
No, they're not streaky. As good as they've been in the past couple of years.
Yeah, they're going to be streaky scoring, a streaky scoring team.
Yeah, their two-point average and three-point average is in the 200s.
There you go.
Of 353, yeah.
It's not good.
Well, before we get kind of ahead of ourselves, I want to see the depth that Billy's talking about that we need get developed in these next two games.
Yeah.
One thing that we've been critical of Barnes a little bit at times because he doesn't seem to develop these guys. Like, it's great that Pons looks this way now, but it's like, you know, maybe you could have played him a little bit against Arkansas, a little bit more against like Arkansas last year when you're up 40 or 30 or whatever and in games like that, so that, you know, maybe last year when he came in, he wouldn't have been quite such a liability. Like, can we, I mean, it's great that these guys from one year to the next can be a whole different player, but like, can we develop them in season a little bit more so that, you know, you're not hamstrung with your lineup late in the year?
Well, and Davey mentioned it, like 72 of your 75 points came from your starters. I'm not even worried about scoring. Like, I just want three or four guys that can come in and play 3 minutes at a time to give Lamonte and Bowden a rest for a game that, you know, games that are going to be close late. Like, Wisconsin might be a game that comes down to the final 2 minutes. Cincinnati, Memphis, Florida State, there's going to be SEC games where you're going to need Lamonte and Bowden fresh, Ponce fresh at the end of the game to try to win. And if you don't have Gaines and Pember and, heck, even Jalen Johnson that can come in and just give those guys, you know, 3 to 4 minutes rest, like, you're going to run into the same issue you did last year.
I will say a lot of that, especially in these next two games, is going to be based on the starters. Like, you want a break? Go out there and handle business.
Yeah.
You know, like, don't let Alabama State, UTC hang around a little bit longer. Don't go out and start sloppy because you're thinking you're going to get a break. Like, if they'll go out and get up by, you know, 20-25 and really push it, they're going to get a break in the second half, well, I would think.
Eventually you're going to see that, because at some point you had it a little bit against Murray State, but foul trouble, there's going to be a game, yeah, or two where, sure, somebody's going to, late in early, the game, they're going to foul out.
Early foul trouble, yeah, hurt you against Murray State.
But fortunately, during the second half, you were to where Fulkerson and Bowden, I think those were the two that got in, mm-hmm, trouble early.
Yeah.
They didn't really have to deal with that or battle it during the second half. At some point, you're going
to have
some guys.
But you did have to play both of them pretty, yeah, much for the duration, because you got in such a hole. Yeah. And luckily, it was Bowden who was hitting the shots. But ideally, that's probably a game you'd like to sit him the last 6-7 minutes, yeah, if you can. So, yeah, hopefully,
at
Alabama
point,
State's 0-3.
Yeah.
So hopefully they start fast tomorrow, and then we can see some other lineups, some other guys that haven't gotten as much minutes. I'm excited about Gaines. I was a little surprised he didn't get a split second against Washington, but Pember's been banged up. I get that. Jalen Johnson got, what, 6 minutes? 3 minutes?
Something like that.
He was one of the seven that played. Him,
yeah,
and
6 minutes.
Cam Wall
6 minutes.
Two off the bench.
But, yeah, I want to see. I don't know if Pember's ankle's okay. He was dancing around in that video.
I think he's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I think.
But, yeah, like, tomorrow I'd like to see some more Zach Kent, some more Pember, some more Gaines. I'd like to see Josiah without Bowden and Turner on the floor to see if he can be,
yeah,
an alpha when he's not out there with the other alphas. And then I'm just excited to watch Pons because he's a freak.
Yeah, it'll be a no stress viewing tomorrow as Tennessee basketball hits the hardwood again.
What are you doing? I mean, don't say that.
I said no stress viewing. Like, I'm not going to worry about it.
We could.
What? You just said
Evansville.
They're over.
Evansville.
They're over.
Yeah, but Evansville.
We're Tennessee. We're not Kentucky. Final segment, hour number one of the program. I want to remind you that the OEB Law Turkey Drop is happening tomorrow from 3 until 6 at Smoky Mountain Brewery in Turkey Creek. 150 turkeys. We're going to give them away. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to buy anything. Just show up at Smoky Mountain Brewery in Turkey Creek between 3 and 6 for the drive. It's first come, first serve. This is a lot. It's a lot of turkeys. 150. It's the most we've ever given
over
away.
Over a ton of turkeys.
However, the last, I know, at least 3 years, those things have been gone by like 3:30, 3:45. So we've got more this year. But I'm just saying, it's first come, first serve. So I would not wait until 5:58 and expect to pull up and get a turkey. They could all be gone. I don't know. There might still be some. But make your plans. 3 to 6 tomorrow. Free turkey.
I was going to say, like, how much does a whole turkey usually go for at the supermarket?
Like is it $2 a pound?
I don't remember.
Either way to save you a lot of money.
Yeah. And we've had people come by and get, you know, get some for, you know, groups in need or people in need as well. Shut-ins that can't get out and pick up their own turkey. It's absolutely free. It's just a great thing that OAB Law
is doing.
All
we need is your
us.
Address, email, phone number.
Nope, none of that.
Nope.
Did they get Tammy?
You know, we haven't seen old Tammy Turkey out here.
Oh.
This fall.
She's probably in one of those bags we're going to be giving out tomorrow.
Ah, she's a wild turkey. It's different. Mm. These are the ones that would drown in the rain, right? Know what they say? Turkeys, the turkeys in the
farms?
Yeah.
They drown in the rain?
They would. That's why they have to keep them in, like, houses.
Why would they drown in the rain?
If it rains hard enough, they'll just look up at it, and it'll, like, run down, and they'll drown.
No.
They do not make our list of smart animals we were discussing in hour one.
Yeah, don't make the... Not quite like an orca.
Some birds, smart. Turkeys, dumb. We have a hawk out there. Maybe the hawk.
Maybe he got the turkey.
Maybe Henry Hawk ate Tammy.
We got rid of the goats, and then the turkey...
Like I thought
moved
she
on
was.
Greener pastures.
Oh yeah, she did. She probably liked the goats.
Yeah,
the goats probably attracted. Like
she followed those
bugs,
goats around,
like ticks and stuff.
Yeah,
so she's probably eating
moved
the
on
eating
other
the
goats.
Bugs.
Yeah, hate to see it.
Well, now we have chickens.
We do have chickens
and roosters.
Well, they're not really ours. They just
but they like our yeah. part of the road.
Do we have such fertile land out here? We should probably start farming it. It's in the floodplain.
Oh, we. Can,
I mean, we could grow anything.
We.
Anything.
Easy.
What?
Okay. I mean, that was very druggy.
Was it?
Meth. We're on it.
Marijuana. Nate's on it.
I mean, it's going to be legal soon. Good side hustle.
My dear mother years ago said, you need to learn how to grow marijuana. I was like, what? She's like, it's going to be legal. It's going to be a cash crop. If you knew how to grow it right, you'd make a killing. I was like, oh, good idea. I did a little research on it.
So you can be our expert? You could be our marijuana farmer.
We could have Weston bring
Probably.
Us back some strains.
Yeah.
From Colorado.
Some seeds.
Shouts out. Congratulations to Weston.
Yeah, if you missed it yesterday.
And great job by Rick and Chance with the best man speech. It was fantastic. I was cracking up.
Yeah, we need to repost the wedding yesterday that happened on the Blitz. Weston Filet of Fish Brown got married on the radio yesterday, live from Colorado. Rick Butler officiated, and Chance Collins delivered the best man speech all in one segment of truly spectacular radio. They really did a good job. I don't think I could have done that well. Rick just, like, kept it together, kept it moving. He had just the right amount of, like, Brandon, like, laughing his head off with a red face. And then you had Chance deliver a nice blend of roasting and congratulating all at once.
We have an anonymous entry to be the Fox Sports Knoxville marijuana expert.
Okay. How long until it's legal? I mean, we can do all the planning, right? Like,
well,
we can have it all ready to go, except the product.
Technically, you can grow the non-THC stuff now.
Oh, really?
The CBD?
You can? Okay.
The hemp? Yeah, you can grow that. And then the moment it's legal, you just pull those plants up. New seeds, you already got everything in place. Mm. There's a couple businesses downtown already doing it. You walk in and it's like, this looks illegal. But non-THC.
Do you plant CBD. Do you like give the land a break every once in a while, or do you plant other stuff so that you replace the nutrients?
Well, a lot of it's done indoor because you can manage
right.
the climate a little better. Mm. So I don't know.
Maybe we'd have the special, like, more something another because we do it outdoor. It'd be like
could
a,
be. We might need to warehouse it, though. Maybe open-air warehouse from time to time. What? You're looking at me funny.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
We could have turkeys, too, then.
Why? Oh, because of warehouse. Yeah, yeah. Nah. As long as they don't eat it.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be, talk about wild turkey. Stumbling, fumbling around.
I don't know how wild they'd be.
Subdued. They'd probably eat all of our...
Pretty mellow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to work on that.
I mean, you thought the tryptophan in turkey was bad. Can you imagine eating that bird Thanksgiving?
That's totally going to become a thing. Like, oh, we got this turkey in it. He fed on marijuana for the last month of his life, man. Uh-huh. It's going to be the best Thanksgiving ever.
I think he just hit on a billion-dollar industry.
Could be, really.
Yeah.
I mean, they got the gummies and the cookies. Like, what? Now we just got turkey.
Feed the
every
farm animals
meal.
Marijuana.
Every meal. I mean, it's kind of like it's like an herb, so it might add some flavor, too.
What?
Like, you brine your turkeys? We just feed ours weed.
And some people might not even know it. They might just be like, I love this one brand of turkey. And they're like, you know, that the reason you love it is because it's laced in there. It'd just be a hint, you know? Like, you could just, you wouldn't be completely useless. You'd just be always in a better mood. It's like that girl.
Is that true?
It's like that girl that said she left some Truly Hard Seltzer at her dad's place. She'd gone over to visit him for the weekend. Older fella. Likes, sparkling
LaCroix,
water. Yeah.
Driving to work, just popping a Truly.
Didn't realize it was alcoholic, and it had one each morning on the way to work. Said he had a great week.
It always makes me feel so good when I drink these before work. But
like Spider-Man.
5% ABV, though. You got to be careful.
Wait, that was the In the Break podcast, right?
Yeah. A kindergartner found his dad's candy. It was actually cocaine, and he took it to school and ingested it somehow. And he said he liked dad's candy because it made him feel like Spider-Man. Kindergartner. Taking cocaine.
The father was subsequently arrested, and they found a lot more drugs the home.
You don't say.
All right.
Hide your drugs from your kids. Come on, guys.
So,
I mean,
just hit the
basic.
Button.
Top sh-